Hello, everyone, and welcome to the Blaze Your Own Trail podcast. My name is Jordan Mendoza. I'm your host, and I've got a very special guest today. His name is Ben Azadi, and I'm going to have him tell you who he is and what he does today.
Jordan, grateful to be on your show and start blazing some trails together here. My name is Ben Azadi. I am the best-selling author of 4 books and the founder of Keto Camp.
Awesome, man. Awesome. And we're going to dive into all of those amazing things a little bit later in the show. But Ben, man, my favorite part is really taking a rewind, right? Getting some context into who you are, you know, kind of what shaped you, what your childhood was all about. So I'd love to take that deep dive. So, you know, where did you grow up and what kind of kid were you? Were you into sports? Were you more into the academic side? Did you have any hobbies? I'd love to find out.
Yeah. So I grew up in Miami Beach, Florida, where I currently reside. Born and raised here, and I grew up a really poor lifestyle, poor in the sense that my behaviors were poor. So parents were divorced, left to my own devices, hung out with the wrong crowd, did drugs, sold drugs. But I, you know, as a young kid, I was actually an entrepreneur. I remember like looking back as a teenager. Do you remember those Napster and MP3 download websites? So yeah. I would have a computer. I was one of my only friends, like few friends who had a computer. And I would ask people, hey, what songs would you want me to make a mixtape for? What are like your top 12, 15 songs? And they would give me a list. I would download them, burn them onto a CD and sell that for like 15 bucks, 20 bucks. So I would make, you know, a couple hundred bucks a week as a teenager. It was terrific. So I had that entrepreneur mindset as a kid. But I was really unhealthy. Hobbies, video games, to the extreme. I did sports in terms of like basketball was something I was played growing up just in the streets. But as a young kid, I was really unhealthy. I was overweight. I was obese. And that transferred into my early adulthood. Back in 2008, I was 24 years old, obese, suicidal, ready to give up on life, hitting rock bottom, never really read a book besides what I read in school. And I knew I had to figure things out. So I started to actually pick up a book, and one book led to 5 books, which led to 10 books. And I read other amazing entrepreneurs and authors like Bob Proctor, Dr. Wayne Dyer, Darren Hardy, Lisa Nichols, Earl Nightingale. I could go on. But what the books did for me primarily was help me take ownership and responsibility for my circumstances. So in that moment, I said those words, I am responsible. I stopped being the victim of my history. I started to become the victor of my destiny, and I started to change my ways. And then I lost 80 pounds in 9 months. I transformed my health. I developed a mental six pack, which I believe is more important than a physical six pack. And I actually got my feet wet as a full-on entrepreneur, where I became a personal trainer and started my first company. So that was in 2009, and that's how things got started in terms of entrepreneurship.
Awesome, awesome. And I'd love to hear about, you know, the hustle with, you know, having one of the download softwares and making mixtapes for people, right? I mean, that's nice, because it's not that, wasn't that difficult to do, right? You just load them up, you got to download them, and you print it, label it. And I don't know, did you write on it with a Sharpie? Like, how, or did you actually print labels on them? What'd you do?
Sharpie style, just
wrote Sharpie it with style, Sharpie, man. Yeah. That's it, right? This whatever mixtape, and so that's cool, because that showed you and kind of taught you that hustle, right? And the fact that, you know, if you, a lot of people forget this, but if you aren't telling people about what you're up to, no one's gonna know about it, you know. And when you're doing that, when you're creating mixtapes for people, I guarantee you talk to as many people as you could, right? And you're hitting the streets and making connections, and then also, oh, hang on one sec. Hey, buddy. Okay. I will get him in a few minutes. Okay, we'll get. Do not sit on that area. Okay.
We could pause if you want.
Yeah. Let's pause real quick, because okay. he is. Yeah, so really, when you were doing that, when you were doing those sales and you know, selling those CDs, I'm pretty confident that you got a lot more no's than yeses. Is that correct?
Yeah, of course. That's the way it's usually going to go. But you just do it enough times, the frequency creates the genius. So you just tell enough people, you tell 100 people, you get 10 people to pay 15 bucks, you get 150 bucks a week, and you just go from there. So yeah, I like how Grant Cardone said it. He says, contacts become contracts, and contacts just means, you know, speaking to people, sharing what you got, and you're going to get some no's, but you're going to get some yeses as well. Just got to keep doing it.
That's it, 100%. And so you had this, you know, pivotal moment happen in 2008, and you mentioned that you never read any books, right? And then you picked up, read a book, and then you read five, and then it just this, you know, repetition, it created this momentum for you. And, you know, what was it that made you just continue? And what I really feel like, the way you explained it, is kind of like a reckless abandon into professional development, right? Diving in, trying to, you know, jump into self-awareness, figuring yourself out. You know, what was it that kept pushing you towards there?
Yeah, that's a great question. I mean, in the beginning, I wanted to give up on life. I mean, it was that bad for me. I wanted to commit suicide, but I kept thinking about my mom, and it stopped me. So I knew that I wasn't going to take my life. So leading to one book, and the unique thing about reading a book from an author who has so many years of experience and knowledge, you get to condense all of that in a couple of hours of reading that book, or even these days listening to that book. So you take decades of learning and turn that into days, and it inspired me. So that inspiration lasted, and it lit a fire that wanted to learn more, and it became an obsession, really. And that word obsession is actually a great word, because you could have magnificent obsessions. And for me, it was an obsession with learning and applying and growing and expanding. So like you said, a reckless abandon is just to learn as much as I can. But with that being said, something I've learned along the ways is that you also don't want to read so many different books from different authors, because it could be very conflicting, and it could leave you kind of confused. So I learned that lesson over the years. Instead of trying to read so many different authors, I stuck with a handful of the same authors and read all their books and read them multiple times and really went deep, and instead of going wide and narrow.
I love that. I love that. So you brought up your mom. So was, and you mentioned that she was the person that you thought about before, you know, you were thinking about making a decision. And, you know, what is it about her and your relationship? Can you share that, you know, with the audience, what she means to you?
Yeah, well, she immigrated here from Iran with my dad in the 1970s. So they lived in Iran before they came here, which is a different, totally different place than the United States. They don't have freedom there. And they made that scary decision to actually come here to America. And then I was born. So the fact that they made that decision, I was blessed to be born in the land of the free and have my freedom to do whatever I want to do, associate who I want to associate with, create my own businesses, is a blessing right there. So that's one. Number two, my mom worked three jobs as I was a kid. She was like an ultimate hustler. three jobs. So two Kentucky Fried Chickens and a Walgreens she worked at. Wow. I never really saw her when I was a kid. She was working all day, all night. And she's one of the hardest working, unselfish people that I've ever known. So just seeing that, it also makes me want to give back to her and help her out and help her do the things she wants to do and let her be free as well. So there's many, many ways she inspired me.
I love that. That's awesome, man. That's awesome that she's kind of, you know, your rock, and I love that you want to reciprocate, you know, all the years that she put in, you now want to give back to her. That's awesome. So, you know, talk a little bit about the journey. You mentioned, I believe it was 2009 when, you know, the entrepreneurship journey started. So can you share, just give a little bit of context, you know, what did that look like in terms of, a bit from a business standpoint, and then what were kind of those first couple years in business like?
In 2009, I was working at a packing and shipping store, ironically, just a couple blocks from where I live here in this town. And the store was going out of business. It was during that time where the economy was kind of tanking and they took a hit. So they announced, hey, we're going out of business. So you have like 3 months to find a new job. There was another packing and shipping store nearby that offered me the same position, manager at their store. At that point, I had went through my health transformation. I was really becoming obsessed with studying health, and I wanted to be a personal trainer. So I actually said no to the 9-to-5 and started a company called Shred Fat Inc., got it incorporated in here in Florida, and became a personal trainer. And the way I started, I was living at my childhood home at that time, and my sister moved out of her bedroom. So I turned her old bedroom into a gym, like an in-home gym. And I was already training there. So I thought, hey, I could train some clients here. This is like my own little personal gym. So I put ads on Craigslist for personal training, you know, an hour session for $25, but South Florida's most affordable personal trainer. I think that was the actual title of the ad. And I had strangers knocking on my door, you know, to pay me $25 for a session, which just got my feet wet. And then, of course, word of mouth led to more clients. Then I started to travel to clients. And then eventually I actually opened up a CrossFit gym with some partners, and that's where I was training clients. So I was very much invested in the fitness space for several years, but the initial start was just putting ads on Craigslist.
Yeah. And listen, those work. You know, I was in the multifamily industry for 15 years and those were some of our best performing ads were on Craigslist for apartments, you know, listing apartments on Craigslist. So yeah, I know that can be super effective, but you know, kudos to you for, you know, thinking outside the box, right? Like you had a space available, you converted it into what you needed and then just, you know, tossed it out there, right? But it goes to show, again, like you said earlier, like you've got to tell people about what's happening and what's going on. And that's what marketing looked like in that time period for you, right? It was like social media wasn't as prevalent as it is today. And so talking about social media, I know you've done a really good job, you know, building audiences, not just on, you know, one platform, but you've really been able to build an audience on a lot of platforms. So I'd love for you, if you could just give some value to the listeners and, you know, what would be the maybe top three steps you would give people if they want to build their personal brand, whether it's on one platform or multiple, and what would that kind of roadmap look like?
Yeah, great question. So the first thing I would say is to get clear on your niche. What is it that you want to specialize in? The riches are in the niches. You're going to grow much faster if you have a specific niche. And that niche should be something that lights you up. You love to study about, you love to teach it. So for me, it's keto. It's keto and fasting. And my company is called Keto Camp. So once you're clear on the niche, that's step number one. Step number two, I would focus on YouTube. YouTube is such an incredible platform. Most people discovered me on YouTube. It's the second largest search engine in the world after Google, and Google owns YouTube. It's the content on there is evergreen. You can make a video and 5 years from now, people could discover that video. Can't say the same thing about any other platform. But the cool thing about YouTube as well is that once you get a video on YouTube, then you could cut that. So here's the third step. Take your YouTube video and take clips from it, 30 seconds, 90 seconds, and then redistribute all those clips onto Facebook, onto TikTok, onto Instagram, onto LinkedIn. And that's what I have done. And then you grow all the other platforms, but all roads lead to YouTube. And you could also use video interviews for your podcast on YouTube as well. So that would be my three-step approach for somebody.
Love it. Definitely a great approach. You know, make sure, guys, if you didn't catch all that, the good news about podcasts, you can rewind it. You know, you can go grab your notepad and jot those tips down. And, you know, the name of the game, folks, and I'm sure you'll agree with this, Ben, it's consistency. Mm-hmm. Right? You know, just like if you want to work out, just like if you want to do anything, you've got to put in the reps if you want to start realizing success. And they're not all going to happen today. They might not all happen tomorrow, but you put that consistency in and you will start to see fruit of those results. I promise
you. That's exactly right. Yeah. Consistency is the name of the game. It's the king, the queen, and everything in between, I like to say. So many people don't have that consistency and stamina. And how do you get it? You get really clear on your why. Why do you want to get the message out there? When the why is clear, then the how becomes easier, and reasons do come before results. So get clear on your why and then just keep showing up. There's going to be ups and downs. Of course, as an entrepreneur, it's not a straight line. But the goal is just to get better each month, to make progress each month, and just keep showing up. When I started to show up on social media doing Facebook Lives, I mean, I had one person watching, two people watching, and it shows you the count, and then it goes to zero and I'm still talking to nobody. But you just keep showing up, and then all of a sudden you get five people, and then you get 10, and then you get 100, and it just continues to grow. But if you never quit, you never fail, right? Failure is only going to happen once you say, I quit, I give up. But if you learn from things, then failure becomes wisdom. The issue, though, is most people don't get to that point where they could learn and break through and continue pushing forward. They let outside circumstances affect them. But the truth is, there's nothing external external out of us that could help us or hurt us. What's going to matter is what's in inside of us. So control those thoughts, keep showing up. Consistency and frequency is the name of the game.
Love it. Love it. Great advice. And so you get certified, you're a personal trainer, you're doing that. And then you open up a CrossFit gym with a couple partners. What was next? What was that next step on the journey?
So I was at the CrossFit gym for 4 years, and then I knew I wanted to transition online. I wanted to reach more people. That's where you're going to reach more people. I could only help so many people in my community in Miami with the CrossFit gym, but online I could reach 100x more people. So I ended up selling my shares after 4 years of being an owner and then transitioning 100% online. At that point, I didn't have Keto Camp. I had my company Shred Fat. And I actually rebranded Shred Fat into Keto Camp. So I got clear on the niche. And then that's where everything just really took off. And I started to grow on all those platforms.
I love it. I love it. So let's talk about that, you know, transition phase, right? Phasing from one brand to the next. And, you know, maybe the early months of that, you know, what did that look like in terms of the trajectory? Was it something that you noticed very, very quickly? Or did it take a little bit to ramp up?
Definitely not quickly. I didn't like the idea of even changing the name, but I hired a marketing coach. His name is Sean Croxton. He's the host of the Quote of the Day podcast, and he's a really smart guy. I hired him as a coach back then. He said, hey, you got to get rid of Shred Fat and you got to niche down. So I didn't like that advice, but I knew he had the results and I was going to listen to him. So that's when we both came up with Keto Camp. And it started with the YouTube channel, just like I recommended here. And it was a slow growth. I mean, 5-6 months into the YouTube channel, I remember I had 342 subscribers and I had bigger goals than that, but I just kept pushing content every Monday, every Friday. I was committed to a release every Monday, every Friday. I was not just interested in doing that. I told myself I am committed, big difference. So I threw my hat over the fence, had to go get that hat. So even though I had 342 subscribers, I was committed. I'm going to keep posting content. And then all of a sudden the video took off and went viral on YouTube, my YouTube channel. And then I just kept posting and doubling down. And now we have over 130 something thousand subscribers on the YouTube channel. So it wasn't a fast growth, but I believe the universe was testing my commitment to the message. And I essentially broke the universe and I was rewarded for it.
All right. I mean, what growth? 342 to 135,000. And what was the time elapsed from start to today?
So next month in December, it's going to be my 3-year anniversary since I launched that YouTube channel. Yeah.
That's awesome. So in 3 years, I mean, that's tremendous. And again, it goes to show everyone that's going to watch this or that's going to hear this, it's all about consistency, because I'm pretty sure, right, you're doing 2 videos a week. I don't know if you batch them, if you created them beforehand, or if you did these live, but no matter what, it's still not easy, right? It's still not easy to stay that consistent, but you stuck with it, and now, you know, you're seeing those results. So kudos to you for sticking with it. So let's talk Keto Camp, man. So let's talk about, you know, it from a business side. And then, you know, when did you actually officially launch the podcast and share a little bit about that as well?
Yeah. So Keto Camp launched 3 years ago, and then the YouTube channel came right after we kind of rebranded to Keto Camp. I wanted to actually do the podcast and the YouTube channel at the same time, but my coach Sean told me you got to choose one. It's going to be too much bandwidth. So I chose YouTube. And then in July of the next year, so 7 months after the YouTube channel launched, I then launched the podcast. And he was right, because the YouTube started to grow. It helped the podcast initially take off. So we have the podcast. We have all our other social media platforms. TikTok is actually one of our biggest platforms right now with 155,000 subscribers. But YouTube is where most people find me. It's where most of the qualified leads are. And then Keto Camp, we have other outlets for people to get education from us, right? We have our free resources, which is on all our social media. We post every single day, multiple times a day. We don't miss a day, no matter what. There's a structure put in place where if I'm out of town, I'm on vacation, content's going to get out there no matter what. So there's always content being dripped out every single day, sometimes 3 to 5 posts every single day on, not on YouTube, but on all the platforms. YouTube, we release 3 to 4 videos a week. And then I have my academy, right? So from a business standpoint, I have what's called my Keto Camp Academy. That's where I offer group health coaching. I don't really do much one-on-one coaching anymore. I offer group coaching in a step-by-step system for learning the ketogenic diet, intermittent fasting, just learning how to accelerate your health, your energy, your productivity. And it's the model is a subscription-based model. It's $97 per month. You could cancel anytime. It's hosted on Kajabi. All the videos are structured on there. And then I offer 2 90-minute group Zoom calls per month where you could ask me all the questions you want and I give you specific instructions. So that's the main platform that I take people to, or we're going to change a lot of lives and educate them. And then I have a low barrier offer, which is just called Basic Keto Camp Membership for $5 a month. You don't get group coaching, but you get a structure of videos to get you from burning sugar to burning fat and into ketosis.
I love it. I love it. And so that the one that you just explained, is that kind of the best place for people to start? You know, if someone listens to this and they're like, you know, hey, I've heard of this keto thing. I have a friend that maybe has done keto, but I don't really know where to start. Would you suggest that, you know, lowest offer that you mentioned, $5? I mean, you know, if you're going to spend $5 on a coffee, you might as well invest $5 into your health, right?
Totally. Anybody has $5 to do that. Yeah, the best place would be the academy, right? That gives you the full structure. But if you just want to like get started and kind of see what I teach and then eventually upgrade to the academy, it would be the basic Keto Camp membership for sure. With $5, I mean, you get so much for $5. You get almost $1,000 worth of products and videos for just $5. It's $5 a month, by the way, but you could cancel at any time.
That's awesome. So you're the best-selling author of 4 books. You know, I had a feeling, you know, learning that you read a ton of books. I mean, you know, we can see a ton of books behind you that you were going to have more than one book, you know, because you've read how many now? Do you know the number?
I don't, but it's probably close to 1,000, a combination of reading and listening. Yeah.
I love it. I love it. So talk a little bit about the books, you know, where people can find them and, you know, scratch the where people can find them. We'll put them in the show notes of the episode so they can, you know, grab them on Amazon or wherever they are. So,
yeah. So I have 4 books. My latest book is called Keto Flex, which is what I'm holding up here. This one is like my complete book, meaning it's the most comprehensive book I've ever written. If you really want to understand my 4 pillars approach to keto and fasting, you get this, and it's on Amazon, ketoflexbook.com. And then I have a book about sleep. I have a book about just general health, a book about intermittent fasting. I want to go to where people are, right? Some people read books, some people listen to books. So I have both, Audible and paperback. Some people don't even do any books. They want to watch videos. So we have YouTube. So we got to get the content out there any way, form, shape, or possible. So like you mentioned earlier, that's what I think we do a good job with. We don't just focus on one platform. We're on every single platform and we post every single day. So that's where people are. We want to meet them where they are.
I love that. I love that. And so in terms of a team, what does that look like for you today? You know, you're showing up on a lot of platforms. We know that that equates to time. Time equates to having people to fulfill that time. So what does your team look like? And is there any tips you can give somebody, you know, like yourself when you started, where you were a solopreneur and were probably hitting the streets and doing everything yourself versus today where you do have people on your team?
Yeah. In the beginning, like you said, I was doing it all myself. I was editing videos, doing email copy, like responding to comments, responding to messages, setting up meetings. I was doing everything. And then eventually when you get the budget or you create a budget, I should say, then you could start delegating things. And that's a game changer because you only have so much time and bandwidth and you could create decision-making fatigue, which is a real thing. If you start to make all these little small decisions, then you have to make a big decision and you're just so fatigued. So I have a team of 7 people on Keto Camp. Alina is one of the main players on the team. She helps with the entire Keto Camp Academy. She's on all my live streams, helping with my comments. If I mention the link, affiliate link, she'll post it in there. I found her on Upwork, you know, upwork.com. Great resource. I have a video editor. I have 2 that I found on Fiverr. I have a podcast notes person. I have a podcast sound engineer person. So I have a whole team now doing all the things that I shouldn't be doing myself. I want to focus on what I love to do, what I'm good to do, which is studying, creating content, and educating people.
I love it. Yeah, we definitely can't, can't do things alone. Having people in positions that, for one, we may not even add value to. I have no business messing with spreadsheets because I'm gonna screw them up. It's all about having that self awareness of where your strengths are, and like you said, it's to create the content, to show up on stages, and be the face of your brand. Well, why not let everybody else do that? But I like what you said earlier. You've got to have, for one, the thought process of it, and then the budget. You got to create a budget for it, so that you can start actually putting and investing those resources. And when I started doing that, man, it has paid a lot of dividends, because I now have more time to do other things that I couldn't before. Because I resonates with me a lot, man, because I was the video guy. I was, doing all the shooting the courses and editing and doing everything. And I come from 8 years in training and development, so I had to learn all that at my old job, but still it took energy away, from me versus, giving me energy. So yeah, it's definitely a huge thing when you can start adding pieces to the puzzle, for sure.
If you want to go fast, go alone. If you want to go far, go with the team, right? It's so true.
100%. So if someone wanted to get in touch with you, where's that kind of one-stop shop, best place for everyone to reach you?
My website has everything. BenAzadi.com would be the website. It has all my social media. There's a contact form there. So that would be the best place.
Awesome, man. Awesome. Well, this has been great having you on, learning about your journey. I know that people are going to get a ton of value, about your story. Hitting rock bottom is never a fun thing to go through, but, you've broken some barriers and you made some decisions. I tell people all the time, and I heard someone say this when I was 18 years old, and it's just really resonated with me. And guy's name was Murray Reinhardt, and I was doing business to business sales. And he told me that, someone, came up to him. I think it was someone that was homeless, or, they were trying to get something from him. And he turned to the guy and he just said, "Change comes from within. You've got to want to change." Like, he was asking for change. And I remember when I heard that, I was like, man, it's so true. Like, we have to want to be different, mm-hmm. right? We have to actually want that for ourselves first, because if we don't want it for ourselves, other people aren't going to want it for us. We've got to show that and take that initiative. So, kudos to you for picking up that, first book and then investing in yourself, because, I'm sure it's not been an easy journey by any means, but you've been consistent.
Thank you, Jordan. I appreciate that. Yeah, you're so right. Change comes from within. We want to be different from what we're being told to do, meaning conformity, right? Conformity. When we're living in a world where people are trying to mold us to what they want us to be and act and think, but we need to break that mold. One of my favorite definitions or quotes about conformity was, let me get it right. Courage is not the, let me get this right in my head. Courage is not the opposite of fear. Courage is not the absence of fear. I'm going to butcher it, dude. I want to get this right. It's such a good quote. Let me get it. Let me pull it up.
No, you're good. You're good. We cut it out.
Let's see. The opposite of courage is not cowardice. It is conformity. That is the quote right there. The opposite of courage is not cowardice. It is conformity. So what we want to do is we want to stand out, not conform, live on purpose with your purpose, and blaze your own trail.
That's it. And that's what trailblazing is all about, right? Going against the grain, being your authentic self and showing up in your strengths and in your gifts and in your values and for your purpose. That's what it's all about. Man, I appreciate you coming on the show. I know that everyone's going to get a ton of value out of this episode. Keep blazing your own trail, my friend.
Thank you, Jordan.